Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Israel deployed ground forces near Gaza and ramped up airstrikes against assaults on Thursday, shooting more than 100 bombs into Israel. Some Senate Democrats are open to paying for a compromise infrastructure package by imposing user fees, including more gas taxes and raising money from electric car drivers through a vehicle miles travel charge. Republican leaders say they would not support raising either corporate or personal taxes to pay for President Biden's spending proposals. China is about to attempt its first Mars landing Friday. Tianwen-1, as the mission is called, means questions to heaven. It aims to be the first Mars mission to send a spacecraft into the planet's orbit, drop a landing platform onto the Martian surface, and deploy a rover all in one expedition. This is USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
The dysfunction between Washington lawmakers has become business as usual. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest, USA Radio News Bureau reports.
According to multiple reports, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene aggressively confronted Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez outside the House chamber on Wednesday. Ocasio-Cortez says she's now ramping up security. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has suggested an ethics committee should be investigating Greene for her verbal assault.
Two Washington Post reporters witnessed the confrontation. They say Representative Greene, the Republican from Georgia, shouted, "Hey, Alexandria," twice in an effort to get her attention. When Ocasio-Cortez did not stop walking, Greene picked up her pace and began shouting at her and asking why she supports terrorist groups. Greene also shouted that Ocasio-Cortez was failing to defend her radical socialist beliefs by declining to publicly debate the freshman from Georgia. Thanks for listening, and TGIF, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hazing incidents continue to happen at American colleges. One is being sued because of a hazing death. Dan Rocky from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The family of an Ohio college student who died during a fraternity hazing incident is suing that fraternity and several of its members. The family of Stone Fultz has filed a wrongful death suit against the national chapter of Pi Kappa Alpha and 10 members of the chapter at Bowling Green State University in the death of their son. Fultz died on March 20th of alcohol poisoning after a hazing ritual that saw pledges allegedly blindfolded and forced to drink an entire bottle of alcohol.
Since 2000, there have been more than 50 hazing-related deaths. The causes are varied. Heat stroke, drowning, alcohol poisoning, head injuries, asphyxia, cardiac arrest. But the tragedies almost involve a common denominator, kids and alcohol. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky on MSNBC talks about the new CDC guidelines for fully vaccinated people ditching the mask.
Now, that said, I think your point is really well taken. For the last 15 months, we've been saying wear a mask. And so it's been ingrained in us. You can't leave the house without a mask. I went for a walk for the first time without a mask outside a week ago, and that felt strange, right? So I think we all are going to have to become comfortable with this again. But what we're saying is now is time to make those efforts to start getting comfortable.
Thanks for listening. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and what we're seeing in the Middle East, in Israel, it is so disheartening, to say the least. But again, in Psalm 122, we're reminded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And this is what we need to be doing right now as Israel attacks Gaza Strip with air and ground troops as the violence intensifies. And we've got more about what's going on as Israel has been under attack and now they're retaliating. And we're going to break it down and also talk about what's going on with our government. Are they for or are they against or somewhere in the middle? It would seem there's some mixed messages coming out of the Beltway with that. Greg Roman joins us now, the director of the Middle East Forum, promoting American interests and Western values in the Middle East. Greg, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, break it down overnight. I mean, I was worried to wake up this morning. I prayed for the peace of Jerusalem last night before I went to sleep, and was just praying that God would, continue to watch over, his favorite land.
The ability for Hamas to carry out the last 3 days of significant rocket attacks against Israeli city centers, including Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, was dependent on their ability to move armaments underground from their warehouses in the center of Gaza City, which is in the middle of the Gaza Strip, to launch pads and rocket launchers in their locations pre-positioned and pointed at the Israeli cities. Last night, the Israeli army destroyed Hamas's Gaza City tunnel network using bunker busters, using other JDAM missiles, and bombs, and basically try to take them out so that these rockets, which have been raining havoc on Israel for the past 3 to 4 days, would have a lesser capability of launching, and that if they wanted to move these strategic assets in the Gaza Strip from their warehouses to their launch pads, they would have to do overground so the Israeli army
could see
what's going on, rather than doing it underground. This is akin to those bunker networks that Saddam Hussein had set up under Baghdad with the launch of the 2003 Iraq campaign.
Greg, go into that a little bit more, because, I mean, first of all, that's good news that they were able to disrupt, if not totally destroy, that underground network. But I've heard people reporting on this, Greg, that it's a city under a city, unto itself. I mean, the labyrinth of passageways and everything is quite sophisticated.
It is, and they've had 7 years to rebuild it since the last campaign. Operation Protective Edge took place in 2014, which was the 50-plus day war between Israel and Hamas. There's been, I don't want to say 7 years of quiet, but I would say it's the other way. It's been 7 years of Hamas having an opportunity to really build up their capabilities to get to the point where we're at today. So,
and of course, Iran stays involved, and as they said, thank you, Iran, for the better missiles.
Of course, it's not just the better missiles; it's the training, it's the logistics, it's intelligence assistance. Iran has a satellite network which they've been using to hone in on Israeli targets. So that information is fed to Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other groups with rocket launching capabilities. Just yesterday, three rockets were launched from Lebanon as well, not by Hezbollah, probably by Palestinian factions, but Israel is now facing a four-front war that only began last Sunday. But I think they're dealing with it rather well, considering the circumstances. And now, with these explosions and these pictures of orange lighting up the sky that's now being broadcast on the morning news, this is the Israeli response that Israel never wanted to have to deliver, but it's been invited now to not just pursue a strategy of trying to go tat for tat with Hamas, but trying to get to the point where we might even see a strategy to disarm Hamas.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they've always, you know, had the mindset, the IDF, is that if you hit us, we're going to hit you even more so to make a point here. And to me, that leads to the undeniable next step, as you suggest, and that is that they just take back the Gaza.
Well, I'm not sure that they would go so far as to reoccupy the Strip. But the strategy since 2008, when Ehud Olmert, the previous prime minister before Benjamin Netanyahu, took place in the first round of fighting between Hamas and Israel, was what's called mowing the lawn, sort of pejorative term, but basically what they mean is that when Hamas becomes too strong and they start another round of conflict, the IDF takes the invitation from Hamas to launch attacks against it as an opportunity to de-escalate and also to degrade their capabilities. But there's a difference between degradation and removal of military capabilities. And now that this is the fourth round in 12 years, imagine having every 3 years a significant amount of rockets disrupting your life, killing your civilian population, threatening your economy. And even right now, we had Hamas strikes against Israeli strategic assets, like its oil fields, and even an attempt on its natural gas processing facilities offshore. So Israel realizes now that Hamas's capabilities have evolved to the point where it's not enough to just degrade them. Now they must be physically removed from Gaza. And we've gotten to that point, unfortunately, that if Israel makes that decision, there's a security cabinet decision, there's a security cabinet meeting going on today in Jerusalem, where if they go so far as to announce a policy which will lead to a ground invasion, it will portend more violence. But the goal of the Israeli operation, if they decide to execute it, is to remove Hamas's rocket launching capabilities permanently.
What could this end up igniting here, Greg? I mean, it's kind of amazing. You know, we just, what, 4 or 5 months ago, you know, the former president, Donald Trump, had teed up five Arab states to come into a peace accord with Israel. And, of course, the Biden administration comes in. That vapors. He reconnects, I'm talking President Biden now, reconnects with Iran, giving them money. He also returns the money to the Palestinians, so to speak. He starts refunding them. And, you know, of course, they start, you know, repaying, you know, and taking care of all these martyred families, because we've known that that's been the case. And, you know, and it just seems that the United States is very conflicted as far as the Democrats are concerned. I mean, you hear the voices of the, you know, the squad, AOC and Tlaib and them. And it's just shocking, you know, the way they're talking about Israel. I say shocking in as much as that it should be a big wake up call for people here in the United States that, you know, here this one nation that was hand in glove with Israel is having a bit of a civil war in one of the nation's parties.
I think that when you speak of Ilhan Omar and her historical anti-Semitism, Rashida Tlaib and her support for Palestinian terrorism, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her rank ignorance about foreign policy, you're not just talking about the squad. You're talking about the jihad squad. Right? These are guys who are promoting a support of a violent terror organization that the United States has listed as a foreign terror organization. They have become the Hamas caucus in the U.S. Congress. And in lieu of their benign and just really ignorance towards what's going on in Israel and the Palestinians, Let's not forget, there are still elements of the Democratic Party which are pro-Israel.
Yes, exactly. We've got to go to big break, Greg. Stay with us. We've got more from Greg Roman, the director of Middle East Forum. Stay with us.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly, right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
Like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. Greg Roman continues with us, the director of the Middle East Forum, promoting American interests and Western values in the Middle East. Greg, I want you to continue to illuminate, you know, what is happening here with the players. I mean, all this stuff that's happening is not by accident. This is an orchestrated move right now, and this is what people need to understand, right?
Right. So you have three. We were talking about four fronts beforehand. We really exhausted what's going on in Gaza, but there's fronts that we've not spoken about that are equally, if not more, important. The first is the West Bank. This is the hotbed of low-intensity extremism that has been boiling to the point from April 8th at the beginning of Ramadan until yesterday with Eid al-Fitr, the holiest day in the Muslim calendar, where we found week after week it started with rock attacks. Then it started going towards riots. Then there was a shooting incident that took place 10 days ago where three young Israeli boys were shot. One was killed. Then we got to the events at the Al-Aqsa Mosque over the weekend. And finally, Hamas on Tuesday afternoon at 6 p.m. launched their rocket barrage, which started the nationwide conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Each step, week after week, I think was carefully planned and engineered through incitement over social media. And to say that it was random is to be ignorant of how we look at the way that the conflict plays out. There are two groups here pulling the strings. One, Hamas has a psychological warfare unit whose pure job is to motivate and to incite Palestinian violence against Israelis. And the second is a group of far-left non-governmental organizations trying to cause legal issues for what I think is legitimate Israeli claims to property in East Jerusalem. That's the third front. That's the what I would call lawfare far left versus Israeli institutions, which are trying to provide legitimacy and cover for Hamas's action against Israel by having these groups like Human Rights Watch. I mean, they have very, very honorable names, right? Human Rights Watch.
Of course, group, right.
Defense of Children International. But in truth, what they're doing is they're serving as arms of the Hamas propaganda machine. And the last front that we have at play here, which has not been involved in the past three rounds between Hamas and Israel, is the Jewish, Israeli, Arab-Israeli front, where we see towns, mixed shared towns, where you have Arabs and Jews, Christians, all living together in 12 or 13 Israeli cities. And now you have roaming gangs lighting synagogues on fire, breaking the windows of businesses. It's almost as if though we imported BLM from Portland and now it's in
Florida. I was going to say. I mean, like you say, here you are. Your focus is and interest is Western values, and Western values are being attacked, whether it's here in the United States or there in the Middle East right now. And this all just seems very orchestrated and opportune.
Yeah, and it's as if though they're following the same blueprint from what we saw in the riots that took place last year in the United States and going over. It's just that the cause celeb is different, okay?
Yes, so, right.
Now, I have to point out, though, the Arab violence going on in Israeli cities proper, it's being met by Jewish violence, too. There are far-right Jewish groups led by it's called an umbrella called Noam and La Familia. Not that that means anything to American listeners, but I want to make sure I'm being fair here, okay? The Israeli police are meting out justice on both sides. Administrative detention orders have put Jews in jail and Arabs in jail. And Netanyahu is doing everything that he can, and his justice minister, internal security minister, Amir Ohana, is applying the force and rule of the law equally to any individuals who are trying to cite violence against any population. That's the difference between Israel and the Palestinian Hamas. Hamas is encouraging violence against civilians and launching attacks against civilians in these centers. I mean, they went so far today as to point precision-guided missiles on the funeral of the five-year-old boy that they killed yesterday. You had funeral mourners, the family of this boy, running for shelter when Hamas decided to hit a graveyard, which was hosting the funeral of this child. So that's really the difference between the two sides. It's internal violence.
There's no restraint here. It's run amok, Greg. I mean, they obviously are just you know, going full blown into this to try to, you know, disrupt it and bring it to its knees. But, you know, credit to Israel, as you say, you know, trying to, and this has been a mainstay for them and something that, we in the United States should watch and take lessons on. And that is that law and order is still law and order.
Exactly. And if you do not apply the power of the law and the force of law equally, you have less legitimacy as a Western liberal democracy, which Israel is.
Mm.
And,
yes.
And even right now, it's stuck in the middle of its own governance crisis. It doesn't have a new coalition government. It doesn't have a new prime minister yet. But you saw what happened in the course of 4 days when the Palestinian Hamas launched attacks against Israel, riots took place. All of their internal political squabbles went to the side. You have, not to the side, but it's just waiting for another day.
Right, exactly.
The parties have united. They have declared their support of the Israeli Defense Forces. And you will now see a united block of Israeli legislators from the left to the right who will demand that the Israeli army leads the nation to victory over Hamas. And victory being defined not with the Israelis declaring that they've won, but the Palestinian rejectionists acknowledging that their attempt to overthrow the Jewish state failed and that their efforts to incite against Jews denied, and they will acknowledge defeat. That's where we need to get on the Israeli side in order for this to stop.
That's the best case scenario the way you see it?
I think so, but I don't know if we're going to get there because the Biden administration, day after day, will continue calling for a ceasefire, calling for peace efforts, but they're negotiating with the wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
When Hadi Amar, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Israeli-Palestinian Affairs, flies to Jerusalem, he's negotiating with the Palestinian Authority President, who is the natural-born enemy of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
There's no love lost between the Fatah movement, which rules the Palestinian Authority, that's the partners of Israel in governing the West Bank, and the Hamas movement, which for all intents and purposes is negotiating with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at right now. And I'm not saying the U.S. should open up negotiations with Hamas. You don't speak with a terror organization to free
right.
the terror organization.
Mm-hmm.
But the paradigm they're trying to apply isn't going to work this time around.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's never worked, especially, you know, with the PLO, because the PLO have, you know, back to the days of Arafat. I mean, they said, you know, they're basically it's all they're trying to negotiate is the demise of Israel. Well, you know, come on. You know, that's not I guess that's one form of negotiation, but that's a barrier to entry is the way most people would see it. And it's untenable. And to hear, you know, Congresswoman Tlaib speak, I mean, look, I understand, you know, her worldview is Palestinian. I get that. But there's no reason there in between. And there's no reason, as you say, when you're dealing with the PLO and they just want you dead and gone. What are you negotiating? The manner in which you're going to die?
It's not a peace process. It's a war process.
Mm-hmm.
You have rounds of negotiations. Negotiations fail. Violence ensues. You know, Clausewitz always said that politics is the continuance of war by other means. The peace process is the continuance of the build-up to the next war in the Israeli-Palestinian context. And then, unfortunately, it has to end.
Well, like you said, you know, we can be hopeful. And, I mean, this is God's promised land for Israel. And historically, you know, the God of Heaven's armies has been there to take care and protect Israel. And I do not see God abandoning his post or his promises. He has been consistent that way. And also, to this end, America has been blessed because we've blessed Israel. And I would pray also that our leaders would continue with, you know, that Abrahamic promise. Greg Roman, the director of Middle East Forum, promoting American interests and Western values in the Middle East, has been with us. Thank you, Greg. Take care. Shalom.
This report is brought to you by Facebook Messenger. In March 2020, remote and blended learning models started for millions of students, which in turn has required educators to use technology, including video conferencing, to conduct classes, assign homework, and grade projects. And while technology has helped students learn, it's also provided a way to show appreciation for teachers. Using Messenger Rooms, families can pay tribute to a teacher in a closed ecosystem, just with those participating, or they can choose to broadcast in a live room to a Facebook group. Lauren Cascio, Director of Product Design for Messenger Rooms.
Teachers are often underappreciated, so this year we are taking a step back to show gratitude to them. Messenger Rooms allows up to 50 people to join a free video call. So in the lead up to National Teacher Appreciation Day, we've collaborated with Say It Now to encourage parents and students to organize group tributes for a teacher that has made a difference in their lives.
For more, visit messengernews.fb.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Israel deployed ground forces near Gaza and ramped up airstrikes against Hamas Thursday as the bloody conflict shows no signs of letting up. The Israeli assault comes after Hamas groups stepped up their rocket assaults on Thursday, shooting more than 100 bombs into Israel. Some Senate Democrats are open to paying for a compromise infrastructure package by imposing user fees, including more gas taxes, and raising money from electric car drivers through a vehicle miles travel charge. Republican leaders say they would not support raising either corporate or personal taxes to pay for President Biden's spending proposals. China is about to attempt its first Mars landing Friday. Tianwen-1, as the mission is called, means questions to heaven. It aims to be the first Mars mission to send a spacecraft into the planet's orbit, drop a landing platform onto the Martian surface, and deploy a rover all in one expedition. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, joins us. Hey, DeRoy, how are we doing?
Bill, great to talk to you.
Always. Well, Liz Cheney is out. You know, are we having a little bit of a GOP renewal process that's taking place for them to decide, you know, what the grand old party is going to be all about going forward here?
Yeah, I think that's the case. You know, I think she really did herself in. I mean, she obviously voted against, voted to impeach President Trump the second time around. I guess that was in December or January, and she didn't make any friends on the right doing that. But she certainly, you know, could have done that, voted her piece, you know, kind of kept her head down. But she announced she was going to do so ahead of time, which gave the Democrats the ability throughout the whole debate to say, well, you know, even as Republican chair, caucus chair, Liz Cheney says ... and use that as a, you know, as a meat axe to beat up on Trump and the other Republicans. And she's continued to go out and say that you know, Trump is a menace to democracy and on and on and on. And I don't think that's what her colleagues in the GOP feel. It's not what the base feels. I think these days in particular with the catastrophe that Joe Biden turns out to be, I think a lot of us miss him dearly and wish he were there. Yeah. And so she's just completely out of line and totally out of step with her GOP colleagues in the House and with the entire party in the base. So she kept pushing that, and I think it just got to be too much of an irritant, so out she went.
Right. It's one thing to make the statement, you know, as a congresswoman, you know, it becomes an opinion. But when you are the chair of an important committee, I mean, you're a chair of the caucus. I mean, you have to have to really, I mean, your vision, your execution of a vision that represents that caucus when it's out of step so dramatically. And, you know, and she says, okay, that President Trump, you know, lied and all this. And I go, help me understand, Where has that lie been confirmed?
Exactly. Look, I mean, he pointed out repeatedly that the shortcomings and drawbacks and failures in the November election from the, I mean, it is not a lie that there were Republican poll workers who were in Detroit and in the Michigan counting rooms, mm-hmm. those in Fulton County in Atlanta, those in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, et cetera, trying to observe the elections, and they were either not allowed in the room, they were kept at a distance on the other side of police barricades that couldn't see what was happening. I don't think there's any dispute this actually happened. You've got all sorts of ballots that kept showing up after the election. You had people, these secretaries of state, judges who were coming up with all kinds of new rules for the election, which is something that only state legislatures are allowed to do according to the United States Constitution. Those aren't lies. This actually happened.
Yes.
And Donald J. Trump pointed this out. He was appropriate to do so, and why Liz Cheney refused to acknowledge any of that, I think, is one of the reasons that she was booted from the leadership.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, what you talk about, you know, these reports that came in. I mean, what is over 1,000? Over 1,000 eyewitnesses in various states across the country witnessed these infractions, and they brought it to the attention of the courts, to officials, and they've just flat out ignored it. And, of course, it leaves the rest of the constituency, when I say the rest, well, those that didn't agree with the outcome here, wondering, you know, what game was played upon us.
Yeah, you said 1,000 witnesses, and more than just witnesses. These are people who signed sworn affidavits,
exactly, yeah,
and notarized affidavits saying, I saw this, I'm a witness to this bad activity, in some cases crimes, and I've sworn I've signed it, I've sworn it, I've had it notarized, and by the way, if these turn out to be lies, I could be subject to prosecution for perjury. So this is serious stuff.
Exactly.
And the left said, oh, there's no evidence. Affidavits are evidence. Affidavits are introduced in court as evidence every day of the week, and you know, you can debate this, or dispute it, or say, well, here's a piece of evidence, here's a piece of counter evidence if you wish, but to dismiss this as no evidence is just a lie, simple as that. And we've seen such affidavits last fall in Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia,
Pennsylvania,
Arizona, Nevada. And I looked deeply into this sort of thing, and you even had some Democrat poll workers saying, you know, I'm a Democrat poll worker. I saw all kinds of shenanigans that should have been going on. You may remember in the Atlanta, Georgia counting room, they told everyone, well, you know, we're going to wrap it up for the night. Everyone go home. And everyone left. The press left. The poll watchers left. And a handful of poll workers stuck around, pulled these boxes full of ballots out from under a table, and started feeding them into the vote counting machines. What on earth is that? And luckily,
exactly,
there was a security camera that caught this. And so we have some evidence of that, but that happened, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a big, huge vote spike for Joe Biden. You know, maybe there's an innocent explanation for this, but when you run everyone out of the room, you create suspicions that are either genuine or at least are created out of, you know, paranoia. And that's what we don't need. We need total transparency on this. If there's an innocent explanation for that, we would have known it at the time. And if there is no innocent explanation for that, this needs to be investigated, and the perpetrators need to be prosecuted and thrown in jail.
Well, this is what bothers Americans, you know, those that do not necessarily agree with Liz Cheney, is that here, you know, for all that went on, that people on the surface, I think a majority of Americans said, you know, I don't quite understand what happened. You know, it seems rather fishy with all these different stories and signed affidavits at the, you know, possible, you know, putting your life you know, and your freedom on the line to sign something like this, what is going on? But instead of the government coming together and looking, and you talk about transparency, I think somebody used a brilliant analogy the other night, and that is like when there's an airplane crash, for example, the FAA steps in, they take their time, it could take up to a year to find out exactly what happened, why did that plane crash? And the reason they do that, as instructional purposes, you can't do anything about what happened, but going forward, you can be advise the next pilots, the next team, as to what, you know, what caused that crash, how is that going to help you so that we don't do it again, right? But for some reason, for something as critical as an election, we cannot go through that same analysis, and everybody's left scratching their head, just feeling like a bunch of mushrooms kept in the dark and being fed manure.
I like the mushroom analogy.
Seemed
colorful and correct. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, part of this is to find anybody guilty of any wrongdoing last November and lock them up, A, and B, make sure that we correct the errors in the system so that we don't have another problem in 2022 or 2024. So that needs to happen. That's vital. There is an audit going on in Maricopa County, Arizona, which is the Phoenix area. That's ongoing as we speak. And my understanding is there again, the Democrats are standing in the way, stonewalling, dragging their feet. It seems as if there's any effort to clean up America's elections, investigate potential wrongdoing, they're the Democrats in the way with a big stop sign saying don't go any further. If they have nothing to hide, why do they refuse to cooperate, refuse to let these things be investigated, kick and scream anytime you want to look behind the curtain and see what's going on? If they're really innocent and behaving properly, they shouldn't be afraid of investigations. Right. You're afraid of investigations, you wonder if they have something to hide. And one thing you mentioned, the courts. The Supreme Court has been scrupulous about staying out of this, including there's a recent case in Arizona that they were able to hear, and they decided not to. For some reason, the Supreme Court, they're like, a baseball umpire. Somebody, dives into home base, and we're wondering if the catcher hit him in time and he's out, or did the catcher get there too late and he's safe. It's a close call. Everybody looks at the umpire. The umpire throws his hands up in the air, turns around, takes a shower, and drives home. And the Supreme Court's been doing this over and over and over. They've got to help us with decisions on this. They may not be decisions you and I like, but if they make a decision and say, yes, these type of mail-in ballots are good, or no, those absentee ballots are not, then we can move forward and follow some instructions and direction from them when we have these disputes. Instead, they don't get involved. There's no clarity. And come 2022 and 2024, we're going to have more questions about any guidance from the Supreme Court. And all this stuff is just going to continue to confuse people and blow up in our faces with no guidance from the Supreme Court, whose job it is to get in and settle difficult disputes. That's why they're there. They need to do their jobs.
And to make it even more complicated, let's raise the rug and let's just push it all under the rug, all in the form of H.R. 1 and S.1, right?
Exactly. In fact, just on Tuesday it was that the Senate Rules Committee marked up S-1, which is the Senate version of H.R. 1. People on the right have been calling it the Corrupt Politicians Act. And if this thing, God forbid, passes, it will be the end of free and fair elections in this country. It will be basically a nationalization of elections, with the rules having been written by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer for the benefit of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
Right.
It will be easier for illegal aliens to vote.
Going to break. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
All right, is that a Q2 or Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA.
W-9.
To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny, have you ever heard of a Fungible Good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Thank you.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
We're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with a Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, and founding member of Project 21 Black Leadership Network, DeRoy Murdoch, continues. DeRoy, is just to put a ribbon around this situation of S1 and HR1, a federal takeover of our elections, one size fits all. I got to imagine the individual states, I mean, there will be a constitutional crisis that will take place that will be immeasurable.
Well, there should be. I have no doubt if this passes, there will be instant lawsuits by attorneys general and secretaries of state in multiple states across the U.S. to knock this thing down. They probably very likely will make the argument that the states themselves are supposed to be the guardians of their own elections, not the federal government, that HR1 and S1 are unconstitutional. That, of course, will go to the court system. And then the question is, will the Supreme Court step in and rule these bills or that law, if it gets signed into law, unconstitutional, or will the John Roberts court throw up their hands in the air and say, don't look at us. Why are you asking us if this is constitutional?
Yeah, we're going home to take a shower. See ya.
Yeah, we're tired. We're going shopping. See ya. You know, we're on break. Bye. This total abrogation of duty on their part is really stunning. And, I want them to make decisions with which I agree, but even if they make decisions with which I disagree, we all will know what the rules are. The 330 million of us can go forward with whatever instructions they decide as to what is or is not constitutional. But when they just throw up their hands and don't get involved, then you've got half the country saying X, half the country saying Y, it's never settled. And, that just leads to more division, strife, and confusion.
DeRoy, I got to imagine with your latest column, you're being attacked like Tim Scott when you wrote about Black Success Matters. I am so appreciative. This is a terrific piece that you've written and one that needs to take precedent, I believe, in the classrooms across America, even more so than something like, 1619.
Yeah, I mean, one of the narratives, when you use that term, or big lie, as I call it, of the mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter people, critical race theory mongers, et cetera, is that all white people are oppressors, all black people are oppressed and victims, and if you're black, you just can't make it in the society. It's too racist, there are too many cops running around killing black people, and, we're all just, a couple inches away from Jim Crow and maybe a foot or two away from slavery. And, boy, this is a complete slap in the face for the millions and millions of black people who have succeeded in this country. I cite just a few examples. Madam C.J. Walker, sold hair care products back about 1910 or so. She actually became a millionaire. This is 110 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Made millions back then, which would be worth even more now.
Exactly.
Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Dizzy Gillespie, these were some of our jazz pioneers. Barry Gordy in Detroit, 1959, five years before the Civil Rights Act of 64, borrowed $800 from his family and founded something which became Motown Records, enormously successful. You know, we've got major black CEOs who run some of our biggest companies. Ken Chenault ran American Express. Ken Frazier right now runs Merck. Richard Parsons ran Citigroup and Time Warner. Then we have an amazing man named E. Stanley O'Neill. His grandfather was born in slavery. Two generations later, E. Stanley O'Neill became CEO of Merrill Lynch. So you go from slavery to the chairmanship of Merrill Lynch in two generations. Absolutely remarkable. So these are just a couple examples. There are many, many others of successful black folks. Not all of them famous. Some people are successful but not well known. You know, the man who runs a Safeway grocery franchise in California, or people who are car dealers elsewhere, maybe you don't know their names, but they're prospering, creating jobs, paying their bills, taking care of themselves, their friends, their families and loved ones. And we never hear about this. We just hear about, oh, blacks are held down, blacks can't make it, et cetera. And if you're a 10 or 11 or 12 year old in school and you hear that all day long, why bother to do your homework? Why bother to pursue a class? Why not just give up? You know, join a gang, start taking drugs, become a gangbanger and, you know, wait for the cops to shoot you before you turn 21. That's really the message from the BLM folks and the critical race theory people. And it is just social cancer. This is awful stuff, and it needs to be stomped out as hard as possible as soon as we can.
Well, and the thing that's disgusting for me is you have the likes of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and others that, carry this narrative out to this next generation. And, I look at their, their bank accounts. They're doing well. I mean, they've actually made a business here in America, a free market country, out of racism. And maybe that's why they're holding on to it so desperately, because if it goes away, I mean, they need to figure out another job to do.
No, this is right. I mean, there was a point where we had, Italian leaders and Irish leaders. At some point, the Italians and Irish did well enough. They didn't need their leaders anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think Sharpton and Jackson and Maxine Waters and that whole crew are terrified that blacks will do sufficiently well, where we say, well, we don't really need leaders anymore. We can take care of ourselves. In that case, those guys go bankrupt. So they have every incentive to keep black folks terrified about, KKK is about to erupt again, and Trump is really a Klansman, blah, blah, blah. All this nonsense. Even get it coming from Michelle Obama. I mean,
yes, exactly. I was going to say, the First Lady and the President, where's their voice?
Yeah, well, they keep telling us about how, you're black, you can't make it in the society, it's too racist. Excuse me, he was President of the United States for 8 years. She was First Lady of the United States for 8 years. They raised their kids in the White House. They sent their kids to Sidwell Friends School, which is the most prestigious and exclusive high school in Washington, D.C. They have a beautiful home in Washington, D.C., another home in Martha's Vineyard, I believe another home in Palm Springs, and they preach this gospel of failure, you're black, you can't make it. They should be saying the opposite. They should be saying, look at us. We made it. We succeeded. You can make it in this country. Work hard. Study hard. Clean up your act. Don't get in trouble with the law. And you can prosper as we did. Maybe not necessarily at quite the level we did, but certainly high enough. And, we did it. So can you, through hard work and sacrifice and diligence and education. That's what they should be preaching. Instead, you've got the former First Lady of the United States whining and bellowing as if she were, living in a housing project on food stamps.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And the thing is, to your point, I think this is what scares them, is that people of color are waking up and realizing they don't need the Jesse Jacksons. They don't need the Al Sharptons and the Benjamin Crumps that, in the words of John Naismith, they're like dinosaurs mating here. I mean, they're really on their way out, and maybe that's why they're so desperate.
Mushrooms in the first segment. And
I'm sorry. I don't know. I just, I don't know.
It's just, very colorful.
They're just coming out.
That image will stay with me all day long. but whether they're mating or not, I think these people see themselves as dinosaurs and wonder if they soon will be extinct. And frankly, they should be. I mean,
they should be. Exactly.
We need to get to the point where black people don't feel like we need leaders. We can be ourselves. We can prosper on our own. We don't need these shepherds who are sort of, moving us around like livestock. There's no need for that anymore. And the sooner blacks figure that out and prosper in this country where they can prosper unlike anywhere else, the better off black folks will be, the better off the whole country will be.
Exactly, and that's what we want. We want the full human potential, the God-given gifts to be fully expressed in all peoples. Forget about it. You know, it's like I told you when I was a kid growing up in Southern California, you know, we didn't care about the color of your skin. We just cared, you know, you're on the baseball team. Can you hit the dang ball? Can you catch the ball? Can you throw it to first? Get the guy out? Hey, man, that's all we cared about.
Yeah. And now, you know, you have people saying, oh, math is racist. You know, how is it possible that math is racist when you've got a guy like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's here at the New York Museum of Natural History Planetarium? He's probably our most prominent astrophysicist. I think he's like the Carl Sagan of today, if you will.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan having passed away years ago. And he's a black man. Now, how do you get to be a prominent, successful astrophysicist unless you can do some math?
Right. Exactly.
And so rather than say, oh, math is racist, black kids, you don't have to bother doing any math because it's racist. Say, look, here's Neil deGrasse Tyson, black guy. He's able to figure out, you know, the speed of meteors and the mass volume of stars light years from here. And he does that. Okay, kids, if he can do it, so can you. So do your math homework. That's what the message ought to be.
How about DeRoy Murdoch? How about you? I mean, how did you get out of the chains?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate to have a mother and father who love me very much, who are alive and well and been married for 60 years as of last December, believe it or not. And, you know, they didn't ride me and my sisters very hard, but we had to do our homework. We expected to perform well, and they set a good example and had a loving home, and they had books for us to read and the encyclopedia, World Book Encyclopedia. They bought classical music albums for us to listen to if we wanted to. Sometimes we did that. Sometimes we went out and played hide and seek. Sometimes we watched The Three Stooges and Bugs Bunny, and sometimes we listened to Tchaikovsky and Dvorak. And they encouraged us to, anytime we're curious, we wanted to go learn more about something, they said, great, we'll take you to the museum, you can learn about that, or we'll buy you a book about so-and-so. And my sisters and I stayed in school and graduated and prospered, and here we are. We're, no magic formula. We didn't come out of, you know, tremendous wealth or anything like that. We just figured it's a good country. We could prosper here. And when we didn't spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, Whitey holding us down, we just did what we had to do. So I got to be a success as same with my sister out in California. And lives with my parents and takes good care of them. So we're all happy and lucky and thrilled to live in this country.
Exactly. And contributing, assimilating, and exercising your God-given gifts. And, you know, again, this is the big lie that's been perpetrated. Joe Biden said they want to put you all in chains, and it's big government that wants to create this modern slavery force to hold people down and not allow them to be all they can be.
You're right. Yep. And this is the... as a British friend of mine calls it, the triumph of socialism, and you've got it alive and well, unfortunately, in this society, and with the additional, not just all the spending and the taxes and all that, regulations, but this additional layer of just racial defeatism and victimology and all this stuff, which a lot of us thought, you know, whatever Obama did, you know, he might do some terrible things in terms of the economy, but at least the racial hatchet would be buried. Well, it's not buried. It's now coming at us right smack into our foreheads.
Exactly.
And BLM and the critical race theory people are pushing this stuff, and it is just total social drain now. It really needs to stop, and people should stand up and be strong and speak out against this. If they're teaching critical race theory in your kids' classrooms, you should protest. We've seen parents get onto school boards and stop this stuff. So thankfully there's been a pushback against it that needs to be even stronger and even more vocal.
DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor right here with us. DeRoy, as always, appreciate the time.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover